good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Our Lord is good. Our God is faithful. And we are here to worship his holy, holy name. Amen. So we just invite you to come on in and worship with us.
Days I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will see of the goodness of God.
Sing that all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been so, so good.
forever. Hallelujah. Girls, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Around Thanksgiving time, and we go around the dinner table and we say, what are you thankful for? In that moment, it kind of just brings you to think, it forces you to think, what am I grateful for? And then as we are going around, it stirs up in the dinner table just gratitude for the Lord. And then we finish saying, who are you thankful to? And the girls scream, Jesus! That is what we need to stir up here this morning, just gratitude for the Lord. So I invite you to think of 1, 2, 3 things that the Lord has done in your life and press into that and praise Him, not how you're feeling because you may be feeling down, but praise Him for how worthy He is. Praise Him for how glorious He is. And I invite you to come up here to the front if you wish and just let your praise be heard into the heavens. Amen. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Tell your soul. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. This is your time to praise Him. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise. Get up and praise. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift love is a
hallelujah.
It sounds beautiful. Not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, hallelujah. Oh, we join with heaven's song. We join with heaven's song.
Come to join the song, song learned before our lives, to raise our voice along heaven and earth alight. Sing it up. We've seen your
faithful.
Yes, we do.
Your mercy without end.
A king who bled and died.
A God who sacrificed. Being thrown upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. Unto you, slain and risen King, we lift our voice of heaven, singing worthy, Lord of
all through this life we eternity, our endless praise will cry. Jesus, be glorified. Let's sing this again.
All through this life we
be glorified.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We recognize and acknowledge your presence, God. We just thank you for this moment, Father. Be with us for the remaining of the service. Continue to speak to us as we surrender our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Why don't you turn to each other and greet one another, and you may be seated.
Hey everyone, we're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here's a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here's a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are happening at Harvest Time, scan the QR code or visit us at htchurch.com.
If you'd like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page. Use our Realm Connect app to set up recurring giving, or you can give anytime using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an awesome week.
Amen. Amen. We are, I'm just so blessed today to be able to share good news with the congregation. Pastor Raphael and I, when we got on the team and we got on this role to be creative pastors, we knew that we would need help and we knew that we would be need support. And so we started praying and saying, God, send the right person that can come alongside us and has the same vision that we can work together. So today we just wanted to introduce our new creative coordinator, Juliana, if you will please come and will you welcome her? It's such a blessing to come alongside her, and if you don't know Juliana, she's also Brazilian, and I don't know, are your parents listening today?
Só queria falar com seus pais. Muito obrigada, Deus abençoe vocês pela vida da Juliana, ela é uma bênção para nós.
So just thank you so much for coming, and would you just, I know you just sat, I'm so sorry, will you stand and let's bless her. Thank you, God. Amen.
If you could just stretch out your hand towards Juliana, we're going to bless her. Father, we're just so thankful. We're grateful because you've been doing great things in our lives, in this church, for this ministry. And we'll just thank you for Juliana's willingness to serve and for her spirit just to, that just, it's contagious, the joy and everything that she is. And we just pray that you, Holy Spirit, just equip her. Just give everything that she needs for this time, for this position, for this ministry that she's taking on right now, and that she may bless your house, she may bless this church, and your name may be glorified. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The Lord. You may be seated. Aren't you so grateful for Pastor Raphael and Lara? They're doing a great job leading our worship team, and we're so glad. If you'd like to be part of our creative team, if you have a gift of playing an instrument or singing, or you'd like to be part of the production team that works in the back, helping to make the services go down, you can see Pastor Raphael or Lara, or you can see Juliana, and they will help you get connected to the worship team. Good morning, everybody. You doing well? Good. You look good this morning. We're glad to see you. Glad that you've come to worship today. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving, and we want to thank you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. Jesus said, give, and a little bit will come back to you. Oh, that's not what he said? Oh, that's not. He said, give, and it shall come back to you. How? A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will cause people to rise up and pour blessing into your lap. Listen, if you have a blessing that falls into your lap, how many of you know that's your Heavenly Father that's just blessing you and causing people to just bless you and prosper you? You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or by debit card. If you are giving that way, do remember to write the 3-digit code that's on the back of your card. so that Ethel, our bookkeeper, doesn't have to chase you down this week and find you for that three-digit code. If you're giving by check, you can just slip your check in the offering envelope. Or if you're giving by cash and you'd like to receive credit for that, slip your cash in the offering envelope and write your information on the outside. Some people like to give by text, and the information for giving by text is up on the screen behind me. You can also find it in your bulletin. And for those of that are worshiping with us online this morning, welcome. We're glad to see you this morning online. You can make a secure gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link at the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Just before our ushers come this morning, a couple things for you. Hard to believe that it's almost Thanksgiving. Can you imagine? Where has this year gone? On Tuesday before Thanksgiving, my favorite service of the year, our Thanksgiving Eve service. This is when we invite you to come and give a testimony. We're going to worship, and then we're just going to invite you to come and share a testimony of thanks to God. How many of you know the Bible says it is good to give thanks to the Lord? And so it's my favorite service of the year because you do the preaching. However, you think my sermons are long. When some of you get this microphone in your hand, it's hard to pry it back out of your hands again. But come share a testimony of Thanksgiving on Tuesday before Thanksgiving at 7 o'clock. Want to let you know that our kids' Christmas choir is working hard on a Christmas production. We're going to share that on Saturday evening, the 10th of December, and again on Sunday morning, the 11th of December, in this service, in the 10:30 a.m. service. And so we hope you'll invite some friends to enjoy that. Water baptism, 1 week from today in this service, we're going to be sharing believer's baptism with some friends. If you have not yet been baptized in water since you've become a believer in Jesus, I'm not going to tell you to pray about it. You never really have to pray about obeying Jesus. You just have to obey him. And so once you've put your faith in Jesus, your next step is to receive believer's baptism in water. I was baptized as a baby in the Presbyterian Church. You might have been baptized as a baby. And I want to say that's meaningful to the extent that it was an expression of faith on the part of your parents. But it's not the same thing as believer's baptism in the Bible that was practiced by the early church, that was administered by Jesus and commanded by Jesus. And so since you've made your own decision to follow Jesus, if you've not yet been baptized in water, we'd love to share believer's baptism with you next Sunday. There is a QR code in your bulletin you can use to get more information, or you can see Pastor Kimmy out in the foyer immediately following the service, and we'll get you set up for water baptism next week. Going to ask the ushers to come and wait on us this morning. Last Sunday was our Mission Sunday, and we made pledges for missions giving for the coming year. If you weren't with us last Sunday, you didn't have an opportunity to make a pledge, there are missions pledge cards available out in the foyer on the center table and at all the giving stations around the foyer. And if you haven't made a commitment for giving to missions in the coming year and you'd like to make a commitment, there's still time to do that. You can get one of these cards and fill it out and drop it in one of the offering receptacles out in the foyer. Let's give thanks as we give back to the Lord today. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received, so freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes, offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, would you bless these loaves and fishes? Would you cause them to be more than enough to meet the need of this, your house, and the work of your kingdom all around the world? Father, bless every giver in this offering today. Open the windows of heaven just like you promised you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you while you give this morning.
When those lids come off those boxes, you've never seen such pure joy.
This is amazing. As you can see, the children's faces, they are excited as they open up the gifts for the first time.
What makes the gifts more than just gifts is the message that comes with the gift.
This is the opportunity for a child to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child never changes. Children are coming to Jesus, and children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. One box can touch not just a child, but your whole family. So we need you to keep packing those boxes and pray for the children that God will use this in a very special way. So thank you for being a part of it. God bless you.
Operation Christmas Child, we have 1 week left to get boxes in. And so if you've taken a box and you haven't brought it back yet, fill it this week. If you haven't taken a box, you can pick one up on the table out in the foyer in that direction. Take home a box, fill it for a boy or girl. There's instructions about what kind of things to put in your box. Bring it back next week, and we're going to just send some blessings all around the world in the name of Jesus. We are super, super blessed to have our very dear friends, Pastor Koshi and Joycey, with us this morning from New Delhi, India. We met a couple of years ago. Pastor Koshi and Joycey were here. We were not yet finished this building, and so Pastor Koshi preached for us in the old sanctuary a few years back. I want to say that one of the most memorable days of my entire life was a day that I spent with Pastor Koshi and Joycey, just seeing the ministry that God has entrusted to them in New Delhi, India. In 1996, they founded a church, Carmel Community Church, in New Delhi. 1996 was the same year that Denise and I came here to Greenwich. Pastor Koshi was teaching at the Assemblies of God Bible College in New Delhi. Joycey, his wife, has a PhD in economics, and she was teaching economics at the university in New Delhi. And the Lord called them to leave their jobs, take a step of faith, and plant a church in New Delhi. They rented a space across the street from the worst slum in New Delhi. At the time that they rented that space, there was no running water, and so they would have to go every day, take buckets to the place where the people from the slum draw their water, the water source, and fill buckets of water and carry them up to their second floor apartment. Joycey was expecting their first child, and there they are carrying buckets of water up to their second floor apartment. But God has blessed them. Carmel Community Church has grown to well over 1,000 people. Now, I misrepresented in the first service. I said that Pastor Koshi and Joycey feed 1,000 children a day. First service has less faith than you. So I was corrected in between the services. They feed 5,000 children every day. Every morning, Joycey goes through the slums across the street. They're still in that same location 27 years later, 26 years later. And every morning, Joycey goes through the slums and she rescues girls that are at risk for sex trafficking. Some of you know our friend Solomon, who rescues girls out of brothels. Pastor Koshi and Joycey rescue the young girls before the sex traffickers get their hands on them. They have a girls' home, beautiful, lovely girls that they're raising, educating, providing for them for every need, and just raising them up to have a future and a hope. And I took this picture. This red cross is on top of their building. It lights up at night, and the people in the slum, they know that if they need help, they go to the people of the cross. Joycey and Koshi are building a new building right now. They were the Lord miraculously provided a piece of land for them in New Delhi, very difficult to acquire property and impossible for Christians to buy property to build a church in the middle of New Delhi. But the Lord provided. They're building a 30,000 square foot building right now. The entire exterior of the building is up. Just for your frame of reference, this half of our building is 35,000 square feet on both levels. It's 35,000, and they're building 30, so just a little bit smaller than this half of our own building. So we were at dinner last night, and I asked Pastor Koshi, I said, Pastor, how much is it a square foot for your new building? So it's $60 a square foot to finish their new building. Just to put that in perspective, church space, to construct church space in the suburbs of New York is $300 a square foot. So $60 a square foot's a good bargain, isn't it? And at the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity to invest. I think we gave a little something to help buy the land that the church is being built on, but I want to invest. I want to see how many square feet we can buy at $60 a square foot. So I want you to just pray about $60 or a multiple of $60. And I want to put a dent in that new building. I want to see how much harvest time. And from that location, the children, the 5,000 children that they feed daily are going to be fed. So every square foot that we can help them build as a congregation is going to go into that ministry. Choice servants of the Lord and dear friends.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You may be seated. And what a joy this morning for me and my dear wife, Joycey, to be here with all of you. And we love your church. And we love you. We love your pastor. And I call your pastor as the dearest pastor in the superlative. You know, because I believe that you are blessed with the best pastor in the world. Hallelujah. And, you know, not only because of his mission heart, but also Pastor Glenn has a spirit of joy that he carries everywhere he goes. And we discuss theological matters like, you know, why there is silence in heaven for half an hour. And well, my two sons, and of course all of us as a family, we love your pastor. And the time we spent together always, and it's not just a time of rejoicing when we meet together, but it continues. So when we have some times of overwhelming times, you know, me and our children and Joycey, we sit together and talk about the time we spent with Pastor Glenn, some of the jokes, some of those light moments, and that has been such a tremendous blessing. And also I want to thank Dr. Robin and Sarah for opening their home, and they are like Abraham and Sarah in the Bible, where how they treated the angels. So we have been enjoying the hospitality of the wonderful family. And also I want to thank the church for investing in buying the land for us in Delhi. You have generously given towards that. And now the Lord has, you know, he is blessing us with a new building. And once again, thank you, Pastor, for your kind heart for the work, the ministry and mission in India. I was enjoying the time of, how many of you enjoyed the time of worship this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. We're experiencing the powerful move of God in our midst. So I'd like to talk to you about the importance of worship and importance of carrying the presence of God in our lives. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 27, in 1 Kings, we know that, Solomon, we all know about Solomon, that he asked for wisdom. That is what he was asking God for. And many of us do not focus on why did he ask God for wisdom. That is also given in the Bible, where why did he needed wisdom in his life. So if you read 1 Kings chapter 3 verses 5 through 7, it says at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And then the answer is given by Solomon. But then in verse 7, we see, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But this is why he was asking for wisdom. But I am a child, and I do not know how to go out and how to come in. So he said, this is why I need wisdom. He needed wisdom to go out and to come in. These are two phrases used in the Bible very often. And what does it mean, going out and coming in? Did Solomon have a problem with the doorknobs before he got the wisdom? No, he was not asking wisdom to because he had a problem with doorknobs, but rather, he was asking God something that his father had, but he did not know how to do it. What is the speciality? What is the uniqueness of David? David was a warrior. He knew how to go out and be a testimony for Jesus, for God, and fight the battles, be a witness for God out, and also he knew how to come in. Coming in means worship. He knew how to worship. So these are the two things that Solomon was asking God for. God, my dad, my father was a great worshiper and he was a great warrior, but I do not know how to do it. Dear children of God, how important it is for us to carry the presence of God always in our lives. We know that we are worshipers, but we just not worship God in the church. We do here and we receive the presence of, we come into the presence of God, but when we go out, we carry the presence of God with us. We never go out from the presence of God, but we go out with the presence of God. When Moses was asking God for his follower about Joshua, this is what God, he said. He said to God, God, I need, let's read Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 through 17. In the past, asked me to take only 2 hours to preach, so I'll tell. So in 27, verses 15 through 17, it says, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord God of the spirit of all flesh set a man over the congregation, verse 17, who may go out before them and who may come, go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in. So what does it mean? Lead them out and bring them in. Lead them out to fight the battles and bring them in to worship God and to give thanks to God. Whenever they won a battle, what did they do? They came back into the altars to the presence of God and they sacrificed to the Lord. Made sacrifices to the Lord. And when they were tired in battle, how did they refresh themselves? They came back into the temple, into the presence of God, and they worshipped and they were, refreshed in the presence of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, 1 and 2 also talks about it, that this is the retirement speech of Moses. This is what he said, that in verse 2, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. I am no longer able to do this, God. So I need somebody who is able to do it. So dear children of God, it is very important for us to know how to go in, how to come in, and how to go out. Or how to come into the presence of God and worship Him, and how to be a witness for Jesus. And we can only do that with the presence of God in our lives. Solomon says, my father did not know how to do it. So God, I want wisdom from you so that I can come into your presence. I can be a worshiper. We know one thing, that we are all in a battle. It may not be a physical battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. But there are powers of darkness trying to, to take over, to attack in our life that want to come against us. But we know that we fight our battle not with our strength, but with the strength of God. Hallelujah. We are not able to do it because we don't have any strength. But we know that when Jesus is in us, He fights the battle for us. Maybe you have come into the presence of God today and there are some battles that you are facing in your life. But I want to assure you that when you come into the presence of God as worshiping Him, and when we go out from the presence of God with His presence, there is no enemy that can stand against you. Hallelujah. There is no situation that can overtake you. There is no mountain that the God cannot level it. There is no situation that God cannot have control in your life. Hallelujah. But the key is to have the presence of God you know, in our lives. We live in a country, of course, me and Joy, of course, there are some of our friends who are from India, and we know that how much of, you know, worship goes on there of the evil or the demonic, you know, deities. But we know that how God is lifting God's children there because they are different. When the demons come into the presence of God, when the demons see a servant of God, it begins to tremble. And it begins to leave, and they say, we cannot come into the church place. We cannot come into the presence where these people worship God. You know why? The enemy cannot stand in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Saul was afraid of David. You know why? Because David was different. He had the presence of God with him. And when Saul became possessed by the demonic forces, what did they do? They would bring David and he would play harp, and that is when the presence of God came in there and all the evil powers leave. You know, there are three things I want to focus on here. What worship can do in our lives. First of all, worship brings God's presence in our lives. It brings God's presence in our lives. 1 Samuel 18:12 and 14 says, now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. And David behaved, verse 14, David behaved wisely in all his ways because the Lord was with him. This is why, you know, Solomon said, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to become a worshiper. I need wisdom to be a witness for you, you know, to become a warrior. My father knew how to do it, but I am a child. I don't know how to do it. So God, give me the wisdom so that I can be a worshiper for you. So when we are in the, you know, when we worship him, we carry the presence of God. Let me tell you, dear children of God, that we are the most fortunate people on the face of the earth because we know the true and living God. There are millions of people who are, you know, they desire to know God, but there is no way for them to know God. That is why we have decided to plant churches among unreached people groups. And even people who are in high caste people, where nobody dares to talk to them and share them about Jesus Christ. So they long for the presence of God. And once they are in the presence of God, once they receive or meet with Jesus Christ, it changes everything in their life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are the most fortunate people on the face of the earth. People are longing and searching. This lady would walk 300 kilometers, you know, different days and on barefoot. Where is she going? She's asking for salvation. You know, how can I get into the real presence of the true God? People in the world. But we are blessed because we have the presence of God. In Jeremiah 17, 19 through 22, it talks about when you come into the presence of God, God says, bring all your burden. On the Sabbath day, they were not allowed. God said, don't carry any burden on the seventh day. When we come to worship God, let us come casting all our burdens away from, you know, our lives. Many a times we come with a lot of, you know, heavy heart, a burden in our heart. But what the Bible says, that when we come into the presence of God, let us forget for some time everything, every problem that we are facing in our lives, because in the presence of God, let us learn. You all do it, but God expects us to cast our burdens over to him. You know, we are called as a sheep in the Bible. Sheep are not designed to carry burdens. Sheep cannot carry burden. You know, maybe a donkey can carry burden. Maybe some other animals can carry burden. But Jesus said, the Bible says we are the sheep. Why are we not designed? Because God doesn't want us to carry burden. He wants us to cast all our burdens to him. Hallelujah. And worship him. Casting all our burdens over to him. Because we are not able. If we try to carry burden, it can cause a lot of problem, depression and other things in our lives. But Jesus said, bring it to me. I am able. Hallelujah. I am able to do it. I will carry it for you. That's what God wants us to do. Worship brings God's presence in our life. And when God's presence comes in our lives, we cast all our burdens in onto Him. Secondly, worship brings God's fear in our lives. There are two aspects of fear. One is reverence and respect. When we, you know, when we worship God, you know, God, you know, we begin to honor Him. We begin to respect Him. We begin to fear Him. And when that happens, God puts fear in our enemies. Hallelujah. You may be afraid of certain situation in your life. For here, Saul, you know, David was afraid. When David was blessed by the presence of God, when David began to honor and respect and fear God, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 15, it says, therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. You know, he was afraid. Saul was afraid of David. The enemy will be afraid of you. You know, he will not be able to come against you because you honor God. Hallelujah. You respect God. You worship God. You give Him the place that belongs to Him. And when you begin to honor Him, the Bible says every fears will flee from you. Hallelujah. You know, the biggest tool that the enemy uses against unbelievers is the tool of deception. But among the believers, the biggest tool the enemy uses is the tool of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of the job. Fear of what is going to happen to your children. Fear about grandchildren. I don't know what it is. But God says, when you are filled, when you come into my presence, when you carry my presence in your life, every fear that the enemy is begin trying to come against you, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. You can leave it to Him because He will take care. The presence of worship brings God's fear in our lives. And thirdly, worship brings God's wisdom in our lives. This is what Solomon prayed. God, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to worship You. I don't know how to come into Your presence. I need wisdom in order for You to, for me to do that. Verse 14 of Samuel 18 says, David behaved wisely in all his ways. Because, you know, he had the presence of God with him. Do we need wisdom in our lives? Yes. There are so many decisions that we make in our lives. We don't know which way to go. To take, you know, to take this step or the other step, we don't know. But we have a God, hallelujah. We have a God who loves us. He loves us more than a mother. He cares for us. He is our good God. He gave His life for us. And when we come into His presence, lifting up our hands and worshiping Him, hallelujah, He gives us the wisdom to take the step, the direction that He gives in our lives. The Solomon said, my dad knew how to do it. I need it to God. We know the Bible says God granted him. He was not asking for wealth. He was not asking for fame. He was not asking for anything else. He was asking God, I need wisdom. For what? To come into Your presence and to worship You. The Bible says that God granted it to him. Not only that God granted him wisdom, but God granted him fame. God granted him wealth. God granted him everything that he never asked for it. But God blessed him with that. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 1 through 4. Here the queen of Sheba was coming to meet with, you know, Solomon. Because she heard about Solomon. She was the richest monarchy. She was the wealthiest person. She was the wisest person of the whole world. But she heard about Solomon that he is the wisest one. So she brings all her to show her wealth. Theologian says that she brought about 9,000 pounds of gold to show how wealthy she is. And she brought all the riddles, all the difficult questions asked to ask Solomon. But with all ease, Solomon was able to respond to every question that she had. You know, she was amazed with everything. But one thing that took breath away from her, you know what, do you want to know what it was? That we see in verse 4. You know, she was amazed. The food on his table, the seating on of his servants, the service of his waiters, all their apparel, their cupbearers, you know, all those. And then the Bible says, and his entryway by which he went up into the presence of God, there was no spirit in her, there was no breath in her. What is entryway? In Hebrews, it is the upper house. You know, when Solomon showed Sheba, the Queen Sheba, how did he worship God? He showed her. And the Bible says she had no more argument. She had no breath because she saw that how Solomon worshiped God. This is what he was asking God. God, I don't know how to do it. But God taught him how to come into his presence. Hallelujah. And when Sheba, the queen of Sheba, saw it, there was no breath left in her. You know, the Old Testament principles that we see, they have a spiritual principle in the New Testament. I just want to read that for you. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals, whoever enters, please listen carefully, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out of the south gate, and whoever enters the south gate to go out of the north gate. No one is returned through the gate by which they entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. What does it mean? Here it says that in the temple of God, doors were opened, you know, like, okay, maybe east and west, north and south. I don't know which direction, if I might be wrong. So whatever it is. So it says that God's people, when they came in to worship God to the temple, they are supposed to come from one gate. Maybe your car is parked the same gate close to that, but you are not supposed to go back through the same gate, but they have to go to the opposite gate. And if they came in from north, they're supposed to go to the south. You know why? They are coming to worship God. When you come to worship God, we never leave the presence of God the same way we came in, but we are blessed by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We never leave the presence of God the way we came in, but God touches us. He takes away our burdens and He gives us in a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, and we leave the place with the presence of God, knowing one thing, that God has taken care every situation of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. That brings the importance of worship. When we worship Him, everything changes because our God is a mighty God. Thank you, Pastor, once again for this great honor of sharing God's word. We love you all. Thank you. God bless you all.
Come on, would you stand on your feet? Aren't you grateful for that great word from Pastor Koshy this morning? Somebody said to me after the first service, they said to me, Pastor, we need another gate. You've got to give me another gate to go out. I said, there's doors on every side of the building. You can go out. But that's a good word. When we go in to worship the Lord, we never leave the same. We never leave His presence the same. You know, I love that. I told Pastor between services, I've never heard it expressed that way, that what took the Queen of Sheba's breath away was when she saw Solomon go in to worship the Lord. Took every argument. She came with many questions. But when she saw him worshiping the Lord, you know, there's a moment in the presence of God that bypasses every argument of the mind and goes straight to the heart, straight to the spirit. So let's be people that take others' breath away through our worship, through our prayer, our communion with the Lord. Come on, I want you to lift up your faces, lift up your hands, lift up your voices. Let's worship Him one more time.
Again and again, 'cause all that I have is a house.
Lord, would you just lift up your faces to the Lord, lift up your hands to the Lord. Father, we make Solomon's prayer our prayer today. God, give us wisdom. We're just little children, Lord. Give us wisdom to know how to go out and how to come in. Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, to enter into your presence. Lord, to gain from you the strength that we need. Lord, give us wisdom how to get the presence of God on our lives. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd send us out to take people's breath away, Lord. Father, that the presence of God we're carrying, Lord, just cuts through every argument that they have, every objection, Lord, and they can't deny that God is with us and real. Lord, I pray that you'd be with your people this week. Lord, I pray your presence would just be heavy upon us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Would you say amen and amen with me? Praise God. For our final act of worship today, I want us to sow. We had an opportunity to sow into the acquisition of the land that this new building is being built on. I want us to sow into the construction of this new building. It's $60 for every finished square foot. They're building 30,000 square feet. And I'd like to give as many square feet as we can today. So I want you to just think about a multiple of 60. Every $60 buys a finished square foot of building. So yesterday, Denise and I received an unexpected check for $400. We weren't expecting it. And so I didn't ask my wife's permission, but we're giving 5 square feet. I gave 5 square feet in the first service, 5 times 60. But that was really just in and out money because we weren't expecting that $400. So we're buying another 5 square feet in this service. So that's our offering to the Lord. What can you do? You know, there might be somebody here, and honestly, $60 this week is a stretch for you. I totally get it. There are some weeks that we're holding our breath till payday. Anybody have weeks like that? But whatever you can do, I'm going to ask the ushers to come and bring some offering plates. And we're going to ask our friends, Pastor Koshi and Joycey, to come stand here in the middle. The Bible says in the New Testament that the church brought their offerings and they laid them at the apostles' feet. And so would you give some multiple of 60? Would you buy a square foot of this new building for $60? Or maybe you can do several 60s, or maybe 60 is a stretch for you. Whatever it is that you can give, would you come? And I want you to come bring an offering, and I want you to touch this man and woman of God, and I want you to let them touch you. something happens when there's somebody who's carrying the anointing, the authority, the presence of God. When they touch you, something just rubs off on us. So I want you to shake their hands or give them a fist bump or a gentle hug. Don't abuse them. They've got more ministry to do later on today. So just give them a light, gentle hug. But you touch them and let them touch you. And leave your offering here at the altar. And every child that receives a meal in that new building, how many of you know Harvest Time's going to have treasure in heaven? There's going to be treasure in our account in heaven for every child that just takes a meal in that new building, and we're going to bless them. Stretch your hands forward. Father, bless your servants. Lord, your word says that those who water others shall themselves be watered. Lord, I pray that you'd refresh them. Lord, replenish, restore. Father, in every way, supply. Supply for George and supply for Alan, their precious boys. Lord, for their family. God, I pray you do exceedingly abundantly above. Lord, more anointing. Father, I thank you for all the churches planted, and I thank you for even more. God, I thank you that they're going to bust through the goal of the number of churches you've put on their heart to plant. They're going to bust through that goal and do more exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. God, as we go our own way today, pray the cloud of your presence would just envelop us. Pray that your protection would surround us. Pray that your providence would lead us, your provision accompany us, and your peace encircle us until we come together again. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Bring your offering. Touch these precious friends and have a great week in Jesus.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God.
God bless you, church. We love you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.